scientists all put their instruments in Parkfield in the late 70s and early 80s, sure of the regularity of the, whatever the cycle is, 20-some years, 30-some years to the quakes, and Mother Nature being her obstinate self and having a mind of her own, promptly held up earthquake activity in the area, so all these scientists are still waiting for their nice quakes. But just north of Parkfield, in Coalinga, and from Coalinga all the way up through downtown San Jose, that entire 100-and-some-mile stretch, the activity, the earthquake activity, is entirely along that entire point. I could show you on a map here dots from Coalinga all the way up into downtown San Jose, continual over top of each other. There's a constant sliding going on, and that's the triple junction point there, just south of San Jose, where the Hayward and Calaveras faults on the East Bay come in and hit the San Andreas. And what's happening now is that area is slipping from Coalinga up through there, and like little bubbles, they look like bubbles going up straws, they are splitting at that triple junction point, and some are continuing up the San Andreas, and other ones are, the slippage is continuing up the Hayward and Calaveras faults. And as Commander mentioned, with that activity moving up there, there are 5 to 7 hospitals sitting right smack on the fault lines, and there are an equal number of grade schools sitting right on the fault line, so you can imagine when that lets go up there, what that is going to do to chaos. Because not only will the hospitals be out of commission, but there'll be an awful lot of hurt children if school is in session when this happens. But the amount of activity that has gone on there is more than I have noticed from casual monitoring of the fault action up there since 1974. So 21 years I've been watching the activity in the Bay Area, and for the last 6 or 7 years very intently, and I have never seen that much activity even when the Loma Prieta quake occurred in 1989. It wasn't as much as is occurring now. So what is about to happen in the San Francisco Bay Area, from my point of view, is beyond belief. And those are the three, let's see, there were two recent quakes. One of them was in Taiwan last night, early today. I heard it about 1 o'clock this morning, and it was, they said it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon in Taiwan, but I think they got their time screwed up, because Japan is 17 hours ahead of us, so it would be more like about 6 or 7 in the evening the next day in Taiwan, but they called it a 6.5. What was funny was the USGS called it a 5.9. Here was a real good slip that you want to see the Kmart scale in action. The USGS called it a 5.9 quake, and yet after that, because it was obviously big enough, they followed on with a story from the, some Taiwanese federal agency, anyway, very official agency within Taiwan that was obviously not very well connected with the Khazarians, and their report was a 6.5 or larger. Their instrument didn't calibrate well above 6.5, so after 3 or 4 very accurate statements by these people, the official version changed from 5.9 to 6.5. They were only off by that much, which is only a factor of about 30 times more powerful quake. So that was a good example of the good guys winning one. And then there was also a series of them yesterday around Banning down in Palm Desert, which several people here who were down in the area felt as strong jolts, but as you're well aware from the maps we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, that area, that triangle around Palm Springs, and the larger line of activity from down through the Salton Sea down to Baja California is in constant motion right now. I frankly don't know why that hasn't happened yet, but that's at Commander's level to discuss if he wants. There is obviously, you know, the shuttle is trying to take off, and despite all of the activity going on, so there will be some more earthquake activity happening once that gets off the ground. So it's good to keep a watch on that while you're watching both Mr. Jackson getting out and possibility of Mr. Jackson getting out and earthquakes on the West Coast. Distractions are important. Now, we've gotten several very nice replies. I don't know if Commander mentioned this or not, and they will be in the paper. That's just what I was working on when Rick pulled me back. We've gotten some very good commentary. Our readers out there from years and years of Commanders lecturing us have gotten sharper, and believe me, they nailed Dateline NBC very quickly with some very good faxes that went directly to Jane Pauley, and they will be in the paper this week. One is by the National Vietnam PLW Strike Force. They're very accurate people. that and several other ones are, I'm not going to go into them, read them, or go over them right now, but for all of you who saw Contact mentioned on Dateline NBC and how they gave us some information, a lot of disinformation, I think to all of those who are aware, it will backfire on them the same way the National Rifle Association got so many more members as a result of George Bush quitting. And things like that. It works in reverse when you have that many millions of people who are upset with what's going on. They don't take the media line. So that's really all I have to say about earthquakes right now.
Well, we're going to have to work on that because there's a lot to be said about them. And I'm going to have to give you a little bit of a geography lesson or geophysics lesson. He has said it. But you haven't any concept as to why things are happening. You have to think geophysically about such an inland sea as the Salton Sea. Very, very alkaline. Very, very salty. It is an inland sea cut off from its ability to empty, and whatever comes into it is not the best when it gets there, if it gets there. You already have geothermal facilities around the Salton Sea. Part of the problem in that given area is what is taking place around the Palm Springs, 29 Palms, that area. Because you're not going to be able to have natural fault lines that fit all of the needs of what is planned to have come about. You see, the point is to break faults open so that strategic underground tunneling systems and cities, etc., are not damaged and get on the right side of a split. Along the coastline, well, let me finish that area. You see, there is a triangulation, a triangle, pyramidal, on its side shaped splitting of the faults around Palm Springs itself. And it is fully expected, when triggered, to be above 9, probably above 10 points on your non-Kmart scale. That's going to take it out, probably. It is expected that that area will cave in. Now, why would that be desirable? Because it will then protect the inner tunneling. It will close it off. That's why it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. Your shuttle is going to do some more damage when it goes, but unfortunately for you people, this is scheduled to go up and bring home from the Mir station their cosmonauts. They don't want you up there, much less dinkering around during this period of time with their cosmonauts. So when it goes, it may or may not rendezvous. That's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter a whit. But what would be expected would be for a major quake to hit the Palm Springs area, kind of fold it in, close off those tunnels, and hopefully not trigger the entire of the San Andreas. They're not ready for that yet. They want the Elysian Park under L.A. downtown to go before that San Andreas. And they prefer that the Hayward Fault in the San Francisco area slip. That'll take out the hospitals. Now, this is all revolving also around your political system. Listen to what they're talking about. L.A. County is suddenly bankrupt. And the only way they can save the county is to close the biggest hospital in the nation. So, we're going to close the L.A. USC County Hospital at a time that they are pushing to bring some kind of closure to this Simpson thing while there is still any kind of momentum going for rioting. Man, they got to work at it now. So they want riots, they want downtown devastation, while you've got no health care. And that would be enough to bring riots. What are you going to do with all of the people that depend on their only source of health care on that hospital? And doesn't that tell you what they plan to do with this welfare system? Get the entire bunch of the nation's citizenry hooked on them, and then you're at their mercy, and they're going to cut you off. There is no loyalty. There is no honor amongst them. They want to depopulate this globe, and they're going to do it. Now let's talk about earthquakes themselves. How can you possibly do all of this without triggering the San Andreas? It isn't as hard as it might seem. You see, along these coastlines, and especially along, let us say, the Aleutian Park Fault, you have a fracturing which is caused from slippage, see, going like this. And this piles all these little fractures. You know, it will split like a piece of glass, just splinter like this. So as this tectonic plate slips northward, it is putting a lot of pressure and stacking up these little fault lines. And they're going to split, but they're going to upheave and drop, and they're going to do all these little things in there, including shake enough to have liquefaction from your coastal areas, especially landfills. But what you are dealing with these side faults, is slippage, not upthrust. Your plates are moving north. This Pacific plate is moving, well, of course, on the other side of Japan, it's moving south. It's going counterclockwise, moving. And at some point, there will be slippage. At some other point, there will be major just thrust, and it will push under the coastline and push this area upward. That's what forms mountains. This is what formed the Himalayas. The India plate slipped, hit the coast, slipped, went under, thrust up. That's going to happen again. That's why you have these beautiful mountains. It's going to happen again. But that's not what they want to happen yet, because that is a different kind of devastation. That is a thrust, one plate under or over another. It all has its long, infinite reaction. But what you're dealing with now are these slipping plates sliding against each other, and they'll go away and they'll hang, and then they'll thrust a little. These can be very, very deep, and they do not necessarily have to come even to the surface. But at some point, they will be bad enough to come to the surface. Now, what happens? You are dealing with crystal formations. Crystal is a growing life form. It converts moisture in compression and heat. It is compressed and it grows. Two things happen with a crystal. It will grow and spread, and if it has to grow and spread against something else is going to give, depending on the crystal involved. They also absorb moisture. And as they expand from the absorption of moisture and then give up their moisture, slippage is allowed. So these can be very, very deep. Very, very deep into the earth's surface. And this gives a twisting motion. I can't tell you which is the more damaging But of course, the longer duration you have for a vibration, the more things are going to tumble down. On the other hand, anytime you have this kind of slippage, you're going to have massive damage, especially along the fault lines. And that's what Ed is talking about. If you can get this kind of thing going underneath hospitals, you just rip those buildings right in half. So you have massive devastation, but possibility of recovery. And that way they can save the big ones for their bigger plans, of which you are not the first to be the recipient of that. Remember, you're talking about a world order. And you are only interested in your own little world. Just like John is not interested in anybody else's car but his. That is human nature. Why should he be interested in somebody else's car? On the other hand, you have to accept the fact that everybody else is more interested in their car than they are his. So the people in Japan are a lot more interested in that ring of fire moving than they are in the Elysian Park fault going. They're so ticked off at you, they'd kind of welcome that. Get some of those West Coast bankers, you know, where they try to bring in their automobiles. The best thing for them is to have the West Coast gone, don't you see? Teach you to charge double for their luxury cars. So every time you have a big political uprising or a bombing of something like the Oklahoma Federal Building, which, by the way, has that interesting 18 levels of tunneling down underneath it filled with Russian equipment, UN equipment. I didn't hear Jane Pauley mention that. I'm not a bringer of doom and gloom. These are facts. And these are facts that you can take up all the arms you want to and can find in this town, and it won't help you a bit. I laugh at Bo Gryt's going to take his people up to Idaho into his covenant community. The only thing they have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and be willing and ready to defend themselves. What are you going to do with a helicopter up there? Those black suckers, you don't even hear them coming anymore. All they have to do is shine one beam, and that entire mountain is gone. What are we playing with? What are you fooling yourselves about? It's important that you learn what are you fooling yourself about. And if we cannot get some of these things accomplished, it isn't going to matter whether John has one car or 25. He ain't going to have anything to run it on. When you talk about parking it, it's going to be mandatory parking because nobody's going to know how to run the things without gasoline. And nobody leaves us alone long enough to work on that. We've got to do everything else around here before we can work on that. We've got the very stuff to do it. And we cannot spend enough time, your time, on getting it done. You are in serious geophysical trouble. It is going to be worse along the New Madrid. You think it can't be worse, but you only have one coastline. Along the New Madrid fault line, there will be two coastlines. One on the east, one on the west. And the rift will run from above the Great Lakes to the Gulf. That's what's planned. Go look at the maps. I didn't plan it, but I'll tell you what is happening. The core of your earth is changing its magnetic position. So in addition to the pulls that you have on the surface, you have a core ripping your planet like a gumball. You can't change magnetic poles without it making a difference. Well, but what exactly does that mean? It means that north can become south. Well, but that's impossible. What will happen to the compass? Right. You just won't recognize the landmass, will you? But that's not particularly important. You can do that and keep on turning. Keep on rolling, trucking. You cannot tilt without wiping out your continents. Water seeks its lowest level. And once you have the ice caps in the tropics, you're going to have melting water. And it is not going to change the level of your oceans. I don't care if Scallion tells you that every day. Ice takes up more room than does water. Water will, however, seek its lowest point. So when you start having inland seas, you better start checking your magnetic pole. Something is happening, but it's not melting ice that is raising the level of the sea. And when you have exposure of undersea continents, that means that others are going to go down, doesn't it? So these are the things that must be confronted. I can't change them. I have no wish to change them. These are what makes a planet work. It also is a convenient way to cleanse civilization. And until you understand your creative power, you're going to let it happen to you. Well, we have some who don't want to be the victims any longer. And for those, we'll certainly accommodate them. But you have to do something for yourself. It's called getting informed. There are massive amounts of information published on these subjects. Massive. There is the entire system of weather control. Two types. One mechanical, as far as elemental, patentable apparatus, and one from pure laser energy flow. You think you've had normal weather, 72 degrees in Bakersfield one day and 109 the next? You're moving from winter to summer, aren't you? Doing away with spring and fall? Nobody knows how to keep up, do you? Rain in June here?
Snow.
How about going snow skiing in June here? How about your summer flowers, your summer spring flowers in the snow? I'm not going to answer that. We seeded this area in 1988. We didn't have to redo it. God does that every year with His shifting and the downhill flow of wind.
Commander?
Yes.
I would add one thing. I stole a microphone back from Rick. I know you want him to talk next, but I forgot to mention something that happened Friday night on Art Bell's show. He had a special guest on that a number of our people here would be familiar with. His name was Richard Hoagland. And
yes.
Richard Hoagland was science advisor to Walter Cronkite and has a whole bunch of other credentials in his past. But he's been popularly known as the guy who's been researching the structures on the moon and on Mars. And in past years of listening to him talk, it has always been an infuriating thing because from what Commander has taught us, we know so much more about the fact there are bases on the moon and on Mars that both are ours, the Russians, and people from elsewhere, and various shenanigans that have gone on that got us booted off of the moon and things like that. So there's plenty of quite reasonable reasons for being able to see all kinds of structures on both of those places. Well, in the past, listening to Richard Hoagland, it's been very infuriating because you listen to him and it's like, gee whiz, there's this structure on the moon, or gee whiz, there's this structure on Mars, and boy, we don't know how they got there. Must be an ancient civilization. It must be this. And you're just ready to tear your hair out from the ignorance. Well, that all changed Friday night, and I heard one of the most remarkable programs that even put Scallion in second place as far as an interesting program on a national radio show like Art Bell's. And Richard Hoagland started to not just talk about the structures, new structures that are seen, but he started to tie them in. He's been communing more recently with ex-NASA employees, astronauts, and other people who I guess are fed up, who have worked in the NASA community, which you have to understand numbers over 400,000. You got to understand the NASA community is no small little backroom shop. And that's a lot of data. A lot of different people have aspects, and the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing. And if you know who to contact, you may find out some interesting things. Anyway, the bottom line was Richard Hoagland started to connect together things like when the Mars probe sort of got lost or lost its radio, how there were scenarios for that and how easy it would be to program the thing to do that. Now, this is going out over national radio. He even linked it with certain deaths that occurred, a computer scientist death that I think only Commander Hatton mentioned slightly in passing at the time, around the same time as Vincent Foster's death. And this computer programmer happened to be somebody who was responsible, could have, for instance, done the work that shut off the Mars Explorer. And the story goes on and on until by the time this was over, Art was speechless.
He couldn't unusual.
Yes, he couldn't argue with somebody with the credentials of Richard Hoagland. And Richard Hoagland was intimating that he has now collected together a group of NASA employees and others who are so angry at what was hidden from them. See, in a large organization like that, it's very easy for somebody to work on something and not know that what it's really connected to. And yet when he came to them and brought them data and said, well, go back and look at your data from 1968 from so-and-so and see if you see this kind of a structure, and they get their original raw data. And he was explaining that a number of these people were in tears, not just because there were things going on having to do with what I'll call hyperdimensional space, tetrahedral geometry, and things like that, which have to do with some of these structures, but these employees, through their own data that they had in their own files but hadn't looked at carefully, it was dawning on them that they had been shafted all these years. And so there is an entire underground of NASA employees who are mad as hell, and they're all collecting together, and they're all getting ready to do something about it. So if you want to talk about a patriot movement, there is something brewing there, and for Richard Hoagland, as careful and as cautious and as scientific as he is about discussing things, from what I heard on the air Friday night, that had to be only 10% of what was happening. So I'll leave it at that, but if he repeats the show tonight, I may try to tape it if he repeats his Friday night show. But it was one of the most remarkable shows, and it was very close to the way Commander outlaid the first four shuttle missions, with all of the stuff going on that you wouldn't have known except when Commander outlaid it, was really responsible for those missions and was connected to it. Murders here, people shot at up in the sky, this happened there, that happened, and that was connected to this. Well, Richard Hoagland was going through that. He sounded more like Sherlock Holmes than his usual self of a scientific nature. And so I just wanted to point out that not only has he changed his tune a little bit, but he has gotten much more noisy about it and intimated that a great deal of those who maybe the secret government thought they had under control are not going to be so well in control now. And maybe worse than that, they can kill off one or two if you have one computer scientist here or one map maker there that they don't want to be talking about figures on the moon or Mars. But it's a lot different if you now have maybe 1,000 or 2,000 employees all rising up. It's going to be hard to replace them quick enough.
Yes, because they have the pieces of information,
yes,
that fill in the tapestry.
And you can believe that they're duping it and hiding it and spreading it around as fast as they can.
They're having to move very, very rapidly now to try to shut things down or get control of things before it's too late.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Does that tie in with NASA's PsyCorps, or is that something that's not really of use anymore?
I don't think there's anything that's not of use anymore. I don't know. I don't want to talk about NASA. It's really touchy these days. This is one of the most sensitive things that you've got going, is whatever is happening in space. And I am very, very much involved in that. And I will keep my agreements. I'm not going to discuss your space programs. I'll put it into some kind of acceptable perspective. It's not very, very different from what is happening with, quote, the Jewish movement. You see, the Jews, what you consider Jews or Judean people as a race, as a people, are not what this is. The elite society of One World Order has nothing to do with this. And yet they have used this group of people, and they will be the first sacrifice. You see, they have to get rid of them, the ones within their own little perceived society. And unfortunately, and I mean it, unfortunately, those innocent ones who are always the abused and the misplaced and the homeless tribes are once again the ones at risk. Ones will come along and talk about Israel as a homeland. They don't even want to be a homeland in Palestine. And all the things that you can come up with doesn't make a whit of difference. It's still Palestine. Giving it away by the United Nations is no different than giving away America, taking it from the Indians. You just don't see it. And putting Israel into Palestine does not make the Jews either Palestinians or Israel as a homeland. And the ones in the elite know that the United States of America is to be the Israeli homeland. That is not even up for discussion. Alan Dershowitz said it. This is our homeland. He said it. And look around you. The merchants have bought, stolen, commercialized, put you in debt, and are hanging you. That's not the Jewish people. That's the same elite ones that have destroyed their own before. They are the ones that will go out and shoot their own ship and their own people. And when that group realizes what has come against them from what they thought were their own leaders, they're going to rise up also. And you see, they are trained with an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. And when they find out who is truly responsible, there's going to be murder afoot. And there are plenty of ones that are now speaking out. But they're buried, you see. Especially a Jewish person coming forth. Let us say his name is Bergstein. Do you think Mr. Goldberg is going to let him spill the beans? And you will find that most of them in the elite, as in all of the Russian Bolsheviks, all of the communist board or the communist leaders who started communism in Russia, were all Jewish. This new Khazarian Jew. And they just murdered everybody else. That's the lie. You're people of the lie. And the closer you are, the harder it is for you to see. And the more painful it is when you realize. And then what can you do? You're the helpless little minority, really. And you have to go back then and listen to the instruction book. whether it's the Communist Manifesto, the Nazi Manifesto, or the Protocols of Zion, it's all there, the map. How do you do it? And ultimately, the way you do it is get control of the minds of men. And you do that by getting the gold, getting the wealth, getting the news media, getting the educational system, getting the medical profession and the legal profession. And you've got the world. Ultimately, always religion. You see, you come in and suddenly it's Judeo-Christian.
There's no such religion as oxymoron.
Well, there sure is one called moron.
It's oxymoron.
You see, you don't even have to get into religions to see it, do you?
Commander?
I'm through.
We have about 4 minutes left worth of tape.
Quick report on Ron Jackson.
That's 2 minutes.
Go. Ron's best guess at this point is that he will be out Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of this week. Reports that I had received previously would indicate anytime within the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Or years, whichever comes first.
So, honestly, we don't have an exact date, but Ron is expecting by the end of this week. So, time will tell.
Here is a man being offered a gift to rectify that which he was. Literally, a man with an opportunity to become great. Let's help him. He can help us, and together we can maybe do something worthy. My birthright is God. Let's go together, okay? Thank you for coming. I cherish you. I appreciate you. It may not always seem like it, but then maybe a parent never seems very loving to a child. Certainly not always. And certainly the child does not always deserve it. So let's be kind. Let's love one another, and let's get our job done. Salut.